my coffee. Hello, everyone. Now, I know lunch was a couple of hours ago, but that was not very rousing, so we're going to try this again. Hello, everyone. That's better. Fantastic. So welcome to SPC 296. This is really a 2013 user adoption story, okay? We're going to tell you all about our journey from SharePoint 2007 up to 2013. We're going to tell you how we literally came from the wild, wild west and how we're implementing a governance model, user adoption, and how we're using this SharePoint Ninja strategy in order to really make a difference with our users and to drive user adoption across our company. So to kick things off, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Sarah Hazy. I am a librarian and an architect at Best Buy. I captain our SharePoint Center of Excellence, which is based in IT. I'm a contributing author to Ruben Gotz's Information Architecture book. I run a little event called SharePoint Saturday Twin Cities. Any of you attended that? Fantastic. My areas of expertise are really SharePoint workflow automation, ROI, adoption, and governance. To kick things off today, all of you look under your chairs or under chairs next to you. We have some little ninja ducks that we are going to be gifting some of with you today. Did any of you find one? If you did, hold it up. They're going to be well coveted. We have people literally on their hands and knees here looking for ducks. It's the Best Buy version of a scavenger hunt.
Or afternoon calisthenics.
Or afternoon calisthenics, whatever way you think about it. So here's the thing. We're going to ask you to hold your questions until the end of the day today. But this is a user adoption session. We like feedback, and we want you guys to be kind of a noisy group. So if you hear or see something that you like, hoots, hollers, and cheers of hell yes will win you a duck if you didn't find one under your chair. Our cohort in crime here, Jason Roloffs, is if you do something that he thinks is duck-worthy, he's going to come and reward you with a ninja duck of your very own. Okay? Oh, right there. I didn't even get to the practice yet. So to help everyone, oh, right there. This is adoption, people. This is adoption. All right, so we're going to practice this, okay, so that everyone can feel a little bit more comfortable. So I am going to say, and we want to be louder than that group, I am going to say, I want to be a SharePoint ninja, and you guys are going to say, hell yes, okay? I want to be a SharePoint ninja. Yes! Yeah.
That was very good.
Wow. Good luck, Jason. So he's going to be our roving reporter with the Ninja Ducks. Okay, so to kick things off today, the central thing that we're really looking at is adoption. And as we're going through the session today, I want to encourage you to think about this quote. Our true belief is that SharePoint can solve world peace, and it will not matter to our end users if they don't see value in that for themselves. So everything that we've really tried to do and build from a SharePoint user adoption perspective is really about helping our users see the value in their day-to-day business. If they can see that value, they can realize that value, and they will adopt SharePoint, and it won't be hard. It will be painfully easy. Make sense? Thank you. Perfect. At this point, I'm going to hand it over to my cohort, Matt Ruderman, and he's going to take us through a history of where we've been from SharePoint.
So there are two of us presenting this session. So first, a little bit about me. Very similar to Sarah, I also do no-code implementations. I also, along with Sarah, co-wrote our internal training program, which we will talk about a little later today. I do a lot of business process automation. I also may have a slight thing for bow ties. I only own 24. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Jason, get that man a duck. Right there. Right there. So there's a little more about me. That's not really important. I get the fun task of taking you through a history lesson. Who here liked history in school? That's great, because I didn't. So I'm going to take you through kind of our chaos to clarity strategy. For you to understand kind of where we are now, you kind of need to get where we've been. So We started with SharePoint a while back. Back really with 2007 was when things really started to get kicked off. We launched SharePoint for one particular team within the organization who needed it for one project. That's how it started. They started it up. It ended up getting taken over by IT. But imagine a patient in a hospital. And imagine that patient needing to be on life support. And someone was there watching the monitor to make sure that patient was still alive, but not attending to any of the other physical or emotional needs that patient has. That was our SharePoint implementation back in 2007. It was great. It was running. But if you needed anything more than my SharePoint site literally will not load, you didn't exactly get it. We had an outsourced IT model, and they were literally there to just make sure the lights stayed blinking. It was a low cost of entry to get into SharePoint 2007 at the time. You paid a little money, you got a site collection, and you were left on your own. But you could do pretty much whatever you wanted to, and no one was going to tell you no. So that was great, except, you know, if someone did do something that was bad, no one was really there to police that. All site collections were pretty much individual. You get a site collection for whatever you needed. We were running the Enterprise Edition of SharePoint 2007, which was great. But we had no formal standards, right? We had no centralized ownership. We had no real performance scaling. We had a couple examples of good and a lot of examples of bad, as I think you can imagine. We ended up with the Wild Wild West, which I think most people who have been around SharePoint for a while are kind of familiar with that concept. People could do whatever they wanted, wherever they wanted, however they wanted, with no governance and no one to really tell them no. We had no sheriff to control the outlaws. Okay, so we had gunslingers all over the place, launching solutions and building things, and no one there to police that. SharePoint's reputation within Best Buy took a little bit of a beating because of that. People would end up on sites and they weren't running properly, and no one was really there to fix them. Or people would launch site collections, and then they'd leave the company. They'd move to other business areas, and you can imagine what happened. They kind of just sat there. Even with all of that happening, we saw a humongous spike in the amount of space we were taking up. So back in 2006, you can see it barely even shows up in this. 0.09 terabytes worth of space is what we really started with. 2009, we had 3.5 terabytes, and in 2011, which is really probably the last time we looked because we were afraid of the number, we had 9.1 terabytes worth of space. Can you imagine what happens to a system that was set up for one internal team and then by 2011 had 9.1 terabytes of space? We needed something to change, and there was. There was a bit of a seed of change. We had this interesting phenomena happen. An individual from Microsoft kind of got added to our account and started going around and asking questions, which is a really weird thing to happen. He asked questions and asked how people were using Microsoft technologies and using SharePoint. And he met all of these different groups across the enterprise who were using SharePoint and using it really well, and started to bring these people together and starting to form kind of these little introductions between people. Someone over with our Geek Squad team got introduced to Sarah, who was with .com at the time. Sarah got introduced with me. I was with our enterprise customer care team at the time. And suddenly, we started to realize that we weren't the only ones using SharePoint. There were a lot of us using the system, and a lot of us actually trying to use it for good and to improve our business. And that kind of spurred what we like to refer to as the Renaissance moment of SharePoint use at Best Buy. We started to come together. We had similar challenges we were facing. We could learn from each other and the mistakes that some of us may have made, like the time I loaded SharePoint Designer and broke my entire site. We weren't alone. We had a similar way of thinking. And this new way of thinking started to form where we kind of are today. We started to form a user group. We formed a small governance committee. And we started to be able to drive towards where we are today. Now, that's really 2007. I want to let you know a very key difference and a very key decision we made when we went to 2013. We launched SharePoint 2013 back in September of 2013, and we made a very conscious decision to have a separate farm from our 2007 farm. We had a lot of bad, we had a lot of mess, and we didn't want to take it with. We also did have a very small SharePoint 2010 implementation that we decided when we were building this new farm, we were on the fence for a while. Do we go 2010? Do we go 2013? And we finally decided, how good is this going to be if we launch a system that's already kind of 3 years old? So we went all in for SharePoint 2013, but we made an extremely conscious decision to have a separate farm. Okay? That way, the mess and the wild, wild west nature from 2007, we didn't automatically inherit that into the new farm, which we didn't think was going to be a particularly good idea. So I mentioned we formed a SharePoint user group. Sarah and one of our other colleagues at Best Buy really launched this SharePoint user group. This is really one of the formal communities we have within Best Buy, and that has really helped to drive our user adoption. Every month, we have a big presentation-style meeting where myself or Sarah or one of the other experts throughout our company get up and talk to our user group. And these are some of the posters we've used in the past to kind of advertise these user group meetings. We have digital signage down at our corporate campus, and we run these a couple weeks before those meetings. We also have a distribution list of our members. We have over 300 members of our SharePoint user group at Best Buy, which is quite a few considering our corporate campus usually has approximately 4,500 people on staff at any one time between Best Buy employees and contractors. And 300, we feel, is a pretty good number, and a large portion of them engaged with SharePoint and wanting to learn more. Twice a month, we have open office hours, where we literally sit in a big conference room at Best Buy Corporate, and if you have a SharePoint question, all you have to do is come in and ask us. It's very informal, unstructured time. You can ask us whatever questions you really want to, and we'll be happy to answer that question. We also, as I mentioned, recruit helpers for these monthly meetings. We're not the only ones standing up in front of our users talking to them. We get experts from throughout the company to come up and talk to our users. So that's the history and kind of where we're getting to today. Sarah's going to bring you through our governance strategy and our user adoption strategy and the Ninja program.
How are you guys doing so far? History lesson good? Yeah. Fantastic. Where is Jason? Oh, you have ducks left. He does. All right, so keep it coming, people. All right, so let's talk about governance and user adoption. We wanted to give you an idea of history so you could understand the scale of the journey that we've taken, but really the session today is about user adoption and about governance for 2013 and how we're paying that forward. One of the very first things that we realized that we had to do was really change the way that our users focused and thought about solutions. Matt mentioned that previously we had an outsourced IT model. Okay, we had an outsourced IT model for, I think, about 9 years, and it really altered the culture and the way that people thought about solutions. Okay, if you needed help from IT, you had to fund a project to be able to engage with IT. You had to fund requirements gathering, and then you had to fund the actual project to get the work done. The impact of that, while that might have been the right decision for the company as a whole at that time, it had a profound impact on people thinking that IT was hard to get to. IT was hard to access, and so they decided to do the best that they could with what they knew and what they had on any given day. Anybody have a guess as to what they used for everything? Excel and email, right? Because we know Excel, we know email, we have access to both, we can create everything that we ever wanted with Excel and email, okay? One of the first things that we had to do was convince them that every project outside of Excel and email was not like Stonehenge, okay? It wasn't big, massive, and stood up in stone, and SharePoint offered the ability to build quick point source solutions, and you don't have to be an IT person to do it, and you don't need an IT project to get it done. So that was really our first objective, and this paradigm shift really started in 2007 in pockets of use across the company, and it's really grown over time, so that realistically today, I think that we've made a huge inroads in people having a greater capacity to wish for more from a systems perspective. So Matt talked about this renaissance that we had, and in about 2009, we really realized that we had a pocket of people that tended to talk a lot, tended to make a lot of noise about SharePoint, not a stretch to think that I might have been one of these people, Okay. And we got together and we really decided that we wanted to make a difference about how SharePoint was running in our company. No one was steering the ship. No one owned SharePoint. So we literally decided to have governance version 1.0 by committee. Okay. So we actually talked with other companies and we found out that this crazy model of thinking that a committee could actually make decisions with absolutely no authority kind of could work. So here was what we thought. If we get the noisiest people together, we lash our boats together, and we move in unison, we could literally change the currents of the water, or at the very least influence others because we were all having the same messaging. And it actually worked really, really well. We were able to, yes, get this man a duck. Raise your hand to make sure that nobody else steals your duck. Okay. So we were able to handle some performance scaling issues that we had, and we were able to start building a business case to be able to fund an enterprise-level team. Now, it took a couple of years. This started in 2009, and it really took until early 2012 for us to get our enterprise team started. So the enterprise team literally started with one person. I was the second hire on the enterprise team in IT. Today, we have a staff of five that are full-time dedicated to SharePoint. Now, for the size of an implementation like ours, five doesn't sound like a huge number, but I have to tell you, we are so thankful for the team that we have and the fact that we are dedicated to SharePoint today because it's made all the difference in what we have been able to do. When I got hired into IT in January of 2012, the very first thing that I knew that I needed to create was a SharePoint Center of Excellence. What is a Center of Excellence? It's basically the hub and the focus area for SharePoint, what SharePoint good looks like in our organization across Best Buy. Is Andrew in the room? I don't think so. How many of you have seen Andrew Woodward present on SharePoint Center of Excellence at previous events? He does an amazing job. He presented a session, a 75-minute session at SPC 12 on Center of Excellence. I don't have time to really go into anywhere near the depth of detail about COE and really what he does, but his session from SPC 12 is now on Channel 9. The URL is right there. I would highly encourage you, if you're interested in a Center of Excellence model, to go through and watch that video. So what I do have time to share with you is six key tenets that I used in designing our SharePoint Center of Excellence at Best Buy. So let's dive into those and take a look. First tenet, have one place for people to go. This is the all roads lead to one end from a SharePoint perspective. We don't really care how people find us, but what's really gratifying is when we have users that say, I had a business problem, I asked a few people around me how to solve it, and every single one of them said the name Sarah Hazy, Matt Ruderman, or SharePoint user group. And that's great, right? Because as long as they find us, I don't care if they email us, I don't care if they go through our SharePoint user group, I don't care if they come to an office hours meeting, I don't care if they send me a carrier pigeon or wash my car, as long as they find their way to us, we're really happy, okay? Yes. Second model, realize that governance is a means to an end. I have a very practical approach to governance, kind of like a practical approach to information architecture. So I'm going to talk you through our governance principles that we have for 2013. Realize that we are very practical. We try and tie it into our corporate culture. It is really there to support what we want to do and where we want to grow from a 2013 perspective, and most importantly, to ensure that we don't end up with the wild, wild west that we used to have. Am I posed appropriately, Tamara?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Number three, build a diverse team, okay? You notice that I'm a librarian. I don't have any other librarians on my team, although I think we're fantastic. Every single person on our team comes from a different background and represents a different skill set, which is fantastic because that makes us able to relate to different needs and different project tendencies. Other than our farm administrator, every single person on our team actually came from different areas of the business. We represent a lot of knowledge within Best Buy, which really helps us to relate to our end users, makes us much better able to partner with them and to be perceived as coming from a perspective of authority. So those are our first three tenets for our COE. The next three tenets, be easy to follow, okay? We want to be fun, we want to be engaging, and we want people to be able to follow us easily on a regular basis. Okay. A lot of people recommend not calling SharePoint SharePoint. How many of you were at the customer panel session that we just had in the last session?
Hell yeah.
So I'll be honest, we don't have a branded implementation. We call SharePoint. okay? But what we do is we try to be easy to follow. We try and be engaging. We really try and make it so that it's enjoyable and a fun atmosphere to talk about and do SharePoint. And that really makes a big difference in driving people to our SharePoint user group, increasing the user base that we have that are following us on a regular basis, which once again makes it easier for them to find us. Building a community. Building a community is incredibly fundamental to your success. You simply can't overstate the need to get people excited about SharePoint and what they can do. So number one, hold events. As Matt mentioned, we have a monthly user group meeting every month. We hold office hours every month. We try and think up any and every reason to get people together in a community sense in order to be able to have fun. And that's really central to what we do. The last tenet that we talk about is be a tumbler. And frankly, Andrew Woodward coined this phrase for me for the first time. I had to look it up because I am not English. But really, a tumbler is the person responsible for getting the party started. Okay? How many of you are responsible for getting the SharePoint party started in your organization? Okay? What's the most important thing about getting the party started? To what? Getting it started? What happens if you leave the party too soon? You get people on the dance floor, you have one great song, everybody's dancing, and then the DJ totally biffs it, and the next song is totally terrible, and you've left to go get a drink. What happens to your dance party then? It absolutely crashes. Most important thing about being a tumbler, you have to be easy to follow, you have to be easy to replicate, but you have to stay engaged long enough until the party can run independently without you being there, okay? So not only are we tumblers, we're always looking for the next people to be the tumbler and to be able to make the difference in the organization and to continue getting that party going even after we exit. That for us is the true sign of success, okay? So if SharePoint adoption could go well without my being there, we know that we've done well. One of the unfortunate realities that's happened, I used to be a site collection administrator in our .com business unit, and frankly, I did a great job building solutions. I had great ROI. Turns out I was not that much of a tumbler successfully there, because when I took the job in IT, they brought in a consultant to back me up and fill my and to do what I did, and he did great for as long as he lasted, and then he left, and guess what happened? My site collection is now the equivalent of a serial killer. Okay? It's a terrible thing to see. You never want to see that. You always have to be thinking about your succession plan and who's going to keep the party started successfully after you move on to your next role. All right, so I mentioned that the COE really started about a year and a half ago. We are still a baby in terms of our evolution and growth, but we're really proud of what we've been able to do in the last couple of years. These boxes highlight some of the things that we've really been focused on in the initial year and a half, and I won't necessarily talk about all of them, but a few key things that we're proud of is, number one, the internal consultancy that we have at Best Buy. Our COE helps anyone and everyone who has a SharePoint question. We actually, at this point, do not have a bill-back model. People always ask me, will that always stay that way? I don't know. That probably depends on senior leadership and where they decide to go from an IT perspective. But right now, realistically, to everyone who we help, our time is considered free to them. Okay? So that internal consultancy really helps to drive forward business value and engagement of SharePoint. Obviously, the Ninja Network I'm going to be running through and talking you through a little bit is really the calling card and has made a huge difference for us. We've also developed a robust 2013 training program that Matt's going to go over in detail for you. We're incredibly proud of that. And then really our SharePoint user group and the formalized governance that we have for 2013 are really the calling cards of what we think that we've done really well. Make sense? Now, being honest, how many of you really came here because you heard about the Ninja program and that's what you really want to hear about? Yes. All right, so let's talk about that. So SharePoint Ninjas, you'll never see us coming. All right, let's take a look at what this program looks like. Program was launched in July of 2013. Okay, it is considered an HR recognition program. So when we devised this program, my methodology for doing it, I drafted what the program was going to look like, and then I literally sat down and did peer reviews with about 20 different people in the company, everyone from some of our best SharePoint users to people who barely knew about SharePoint, to get their feedback on what they thought. They had great ideas. We incorporated a lot of their feedback, took it to HR. HR reviewed it, signed off on it as a formal HR recognition program. I will call out that because it's a recognition program, only employees are eligible to be ninjas, all right? Our SharePoint user group and our training programs are available for contractors to attend, but because it's a recognition program, we cannot legally give recognition to contractors. Okay, so it's only for employees. We do have an executive sponsor. That would be our leader, our vice president of technology and infrastructure. Let's take a look at how we define a ninja. We really call it our Best Buy SharePoint secret weapon. And we tried to make it a little campy and a little kitschy because, let's be honest, the whole idea of a SharePoint ninja fits well into Best Buy's corporate culture. And everything that we do, we really want to resound within our company philosophy. So ninjas exist at all levels of the organization. And most importantly, we want them to remain embedded on business teams. It was key that we made clear, while our team it consists of people that were hired from within the business, the desired end goal is not for everyone who does SharePoint well to get hired into IT, because we probably can't scale to meet that demand. So the goal really here is to recognize people that are seated on business teams across the company for the work that they do in SharePoint. Now, I'll be honest, there are different levels of technical capability for our ninjas, but every single one of them is considered to be a great evangelist for SharePoint and what SharePoint can do. So let's talk about the purpose of our ninjas. Obviously, we want them to build effective SharePoint solutions. That's kind of job number one, right? We want them to be excellent evangelists to talk about SharePoint, but most importantly, we want them to have a willingness to teach other people what they know. So we're not looking for the kind of person that says, I know how this works, I understand how it does it, and I'm not willing to share with others. All of our ninjas to a person care much more about sharing what they know with others than in keeping it to themselves. Obviously, we need them to support our enterprise vision. If they don't like our 2013 governance model, it would be awfully hard to recognize them as being ninjas. So obviously, we need them to comply with all of those. And as I mentioned, we want them to remain embedded on our business teams. Now, one of the things that was really key for us with our ninjas, and these are actual ninjas. These are not stock photos. These are actual ninjas from our teams. We have four different levels of Best Buy ninjas. And yes, we made them campy and kitschy. So level one is Sapphire, otherwise known as the Baby Ninja Program. Level two is Emerald, then we go to Ruby, and the super cool Shadow Eye Ninjas, and everyone loves that name. We actually only have, outside of our IT team, we have two Shadow Eye Ninjas in our organization today, and Ben Hyman's is in the lower right-hand corner. All right, so we have these different levels. Why do we have different levels? Levels drive engagement, levels drive ongoing growth, and it offers a competitive atmosphere for people to be able to say, I just got promoted. Did you get promoted? No, you didn't. You got to work on that, right? So we do have these levels for growth. We want to engage with people, and we don't want it to be a one-time engagement. We want to offer them the ability to grow over time and to remain engaged and to continue to evolve. All right, how do they become ninjas? There are really two key determiners of whether someone can be a ninja. First determiner is, do they have knowledge in areas of SharePoint? We call those specializations, okay? And at the outset, we came up with a list of about 45 different specialization areas. An example, versioning, permissions, web parts, app parts, document libraries, metadata, content types, info paths, SharePoint designer workflows, all of the areas of SharePoint that you can think of, we call those specialization areas, okay? And our ninjas, the different ninja levels have to have a different number, minimum number of these specialization areas that they have mastered. What does mastery means? It means you have to know it well enough that you could teach it to someone else, all right? So the baby ninjas or sapphire ninjas have to have a minimum of 5 specialization areas in order to qualify to be a sapphire ninja. The next level up has to have 10, the next level 15, and our shadow eye ninjas have to have 16 or more specialization areas. Make sense? All right, perfect. Here's the thing. We didn't want people to automatically ratchet their way up to being a shadow eye ninja purely based on their technical knowledge of SharePoint. Anybody have a guess as to why? Right? So he said, if we just ratchet people up to Shadow Eye Ninja based on technical capability, IT would be predisposed to automatically zoom up the levels faster to Shadow Eye Ninja status, and yes, that would be true. And if we let them get up to Shadow Eye level status too quickly, where's there to grow from there? Both of those are very true. Here's the other reason why we didn't want them to just have specialization areas. We want them to be engaged in our community, okay? So somebody could be incredibly technically knowledgeable about SharePoint, and that's definitely worth something to me. But you know what? I double down on someone who is technically knowledgeable and willing to be involved in our community and does a great job of being a participant in our SharePoint user group. So we have two models for judging where you are in the Ninja program. One is number of specializations. The second is your level of community engagement. So here's the thing. Baby level Ninja status, Sapphire Ninja status, you can get to purely based on your level of specialization areas. Anything above level one requires community engagement of a significant amount, okay? So even if you have 16 areas that you know about related to SharePoint, but you are not involved in our internal community, you will get to be a Sapphire Ninja, and that's all the farther that you will go, all right? What does community engagement look like? There are a ton of different options in terms of ways to engage in our community. Come and staff an office hours session, sit on a panel at a SharePoint user group event, contribute SharePoint articles to our knowledge base, bring a friend to a SharePoint user group meeting, volunteer at SharePoint Saturday Twin Cities. That one always gets me personally right here, okay? There are as many different things as you can think about. There are different ways to engage within our internal community. Now, I will be honest. We have heard little grumblings every now and again from people who have all kinds of technical knowledge, don't really want to engage in the community, and are a little bit embittered that they can't rise up levels faster in the Ninja program without engaging in community. I don't weep for them, okay? This is the price of entry. We created the program. I'm sorry. I make the rules, okay?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's good to be queen.
It is good to be queen. Thank you. That's going to be my quote of the day. At Sarah Hazy, it's good to be queen. I like that. Okay. So community engagement. Does this make sense? Community engagement, I will admit, is more subjective than the specialization area, okay? So it's a little bit harder for us, but we do take a look at this on an ongoing basis and think about it as we move forward. One of the coolest things that we're doing that offers community engagement for our April SharePoint user group event, we're actually holding a SharePoint hackathon. We're actually having four different teams, each of which is helmed by a ninja, go through and build out a different solution based on a common business scenario. Then they're actually going to present their solutions at a SharePoint user group meeting, and we're going to have a panel of experts, including Tamara Bredemis, for the comedic effect, and her incredible SharePoint knowledge, will judge them. So being able to engage with that, sit on one of those hackathon teams, participate in leading one of those teams, that's exactly the kind of community engagement that we're looking for. All right, so we've talked about what it takes to qualify to be a ninja. In terms of the application process, we have an InfoPath form that people can go out and fill out. They check off their submission areas. They let us know if they want a SharePoint mentor, they want to be a mentor. They answer a few questions in terms of their background on SharePoint. They submit it. We review those once a month, and we automatically, and then we announce who has been given SharePoint ninja status at our monthly SharePoint user group meetings. All right, what's in it for the ninjas? Okay, other than being incredibly cool and being called a ninja, we had to make sure that there were things that were in it for them. And the peer reviews that I did with people before we launched the program really helped to build this out. So I'm going to cover a few of these. Number one, obviously, we think that it looks great on LinkedIn to call yourself a SharePoint ninja. We also offer any SharePoint ninja that wants it, a member of our team will provide feedback on their annual performance reviews. And to be honest, that's entirely free. That is like the number one thing that people want. They want us to provide feedback on their performance reviews. All that takes is some of my time, okay? We have special events for ninjas. We barbecue for them. We buy them pizza. We have movie days. We have all kinds of different guest speakers that come in. We do try and make them feel really special all the time with recognition. We shower them with love on a regular basis. The other cool thing that people really love, we sit right next to the Active Directory team, and we twisted their arm. You can actually, after your name and your email address, you can actually have it say SharePoint Ninja. So if any of you send me an email, no lie, if any of you send me an email and I reply to you, you're going to see sarahhazy-sharepointninja as my email address. And I got to tell you, I get more comments on that and people who want to know about the program based on getting an email from me, because they're like, that's so cool, you're a SharePoint ninja. Again, totally free. People totally love it. Woo! All right. One thing that we invested in from a dollar perspective, at our campus, everyone carries around water cups We branded Best Buy SharePoint Ninja water cups. Everyone gets them when they're a ninja. They are hot ticket items. Whoever knew that a water cup, but they're also free advertising. People walk around with their cups and they're like, you're a SharePoint Ninja? And they're like, yeah, I'm cool. Okay? Great advertising for SharePoint. People love the water cups. They want to be ninjas for that. So there are other things that we do as well. Another popular free item is that if you are a SharePoint Ninja and you are a higher level ninja, Emerald, Ruby, or Shadow Eye, any tickets that you log with our team get a higher priority. So managers really love that. It's a great way for them to get feedback for their team. And then if you're a Shadow Eye Ninja, you're automatically granted a seat on our steering committee for executive governance of SharePoint at Best Buy. Sound good? Okay, perfect. So I mentioned that we really like to have fun. So the ninja ducks that you have, we have taken countless pictures and had them attack us at our desks. People love to be able to see those kind of pictures on a regular basis. So if there are silver bullets that I would give you about having a SharePoint Ninja program, number one, take the time to build out a formal program. I would really recommend that you incorporate levels for growth. Some people come in and all they're ever going to be is a level one ninja, and they're very happy with that. They wanted the recognition, they got the recognition, and that's perfectly okay. There are other people, frankly, though, are working their tails off to be able to get promoted up through the ranks because they want a seat on that executive steering committee. They want to call themselves a Shadow Eye Ninja. They know it's an elite status, and they're willing to work hard to get it, and that is something that literally money cannot buy. All right? And then be excitable. Make sure you tell them what's in it for them and make them feel special each and every single day are the keys to the program. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Time to move on and talk a little bit about governance. All right, I mentioned that 2013 is our first governed SharePoint farm within Best Buy. We have two levels of governance. We've got farm level governance. Those are the rules and policies that really apply to our entire 2013 farm. And then site collection governance. We enable our end users in the business to be site collection administrators. We do require them to go through our training. Matt will tell you more about that in a little while. We do require them to go through that training and be certified. But once they are certified, they can really govern their site collection in whatever manner they see fit. We educate them in training about governance. We have a whole section to talk about it. We prompt them with questions about governance. That in the end, if they decide to have no governance in their site collection, that's their choice, but we tell them, you ultimately own your site collection, so you're responsible for it. If something happens within that and we have an issue, we're coming to you, okay? If you want to have strong governance within your site collection, that's fine too. If you need help defining your new governance model, please ask us because I have a lot of opinions that I'm willing to share. All right? Farm governance. We talk to the people about this. It's an automatic opt-in. If you ask for a 2013 site collection, you have just opted into governance. Okay? Requesting it means you're automatically opted in. We don't have any formal documents for them to sign. All right, so in terms of our farm governance, I'm going to walk you through. We've developed six key guiding principles that govern our 2013 farm. All of our individual policies about governance hang off those six key principles. Make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. Let's talk about these principles. Principle number one, we provide the safety bumpers and you make the detailed implementation decisions. Now I have to ask, how many Canadians do we have in the room today? I love Canadians. You might have to reach for, on this concept a little bit with me. Here's how we end up talking about this. Federal rights versus states' rights, okay? Federal rights is the enterprise farm. Federal government, we invest in interstate programs like roads, okay? We invest in training programs, we run the farm, we help people out, we answer people's questions. States are the individual site collections. They govern their site collections in the way that they see fit, as long as they comply with federal guidelines. Does that make sense? Perfect. All right, we didn't lose anybody. Rule number two, all site collection administrators must be trained before they can leave the sandbox, okay? This is our 2013 internal training program. It doesn't cost them anything to go through the program, okay? But they do have to be trained before they can get site collection administrative privileges. Now, the next question is naturally, what if someone gives them site collection administrator access and they haven't been trained? Luckily, we developed a solution for that. Jason, over in the corner over here, our PowerShell guru, built some PowerShell scripts that run weekly, right? They run weekly. They dump out every site collection administrator that we have across 2013, dump it out to a SharePoint list. It automatically cross-checks every name in that list against our massive master list of certified site collection administrators. If it finds a name that is not on our master list of certified site collection administrators, it pops out an exception. First thing we do, delete their access. Second thing we do, send them an email and say, you have strayed off the path of rule number two. Okay, we've deleted your access, get thee to training, and get thee to training quickly. Third thing we do, we talk to the other site collection administrators in that site collection because somebody granted them access and it was not us. Okay, you went through training, you know this rule. Tell me, why'd you do it? Let's have a conversation about that. So we are very serious about this, and we built in automation to be able to make sure that that's followed on a regular basis. Since we first started doing this in September, we've had just a couple instances of people not following this rule overall, and we have over 300 site collections in 2013 so far. Overall, people are doing a very good job of adhering to this. All right, number three, governance only works if there's enforcement. Obviously, we talked about that a little bit last time. We've actually never had to take the step of shutting down anyone's site collection or turning it to read-only, but we've come close a couple of times. If you're going to proceed and do things that are going to put the entire farm at jeopardy, right, we're going to have a hard conversation. And ultimately, if we can't come to an agreement and you won't stop doing that, then yes, you will stop doing it, and we'll ensure that you stop doing it. Okay? So that's really what we're getting at here. Fairly obvious. Number four, solid implementation requires knowledge of best practices. Our team is very dedicated to continuing to build out a community of best practices and a knowledge base for people to support for SharePoint. This is our guarantee that we're going to continue training on 2013. We're going to continue having SharePoint user group meetings. We're going to continue having community events for our site collection administrators. We're not going to leave you high and dry. We're going to continue evolving the level of training that we have. Next, our governance plan should match our corporate culture. So hopefully by this time you've gotten a little bit of a feel for the kind of culture Best Buy has, okay? We like to think of ourselves as, not necessarily chronologically, but in attitude, a very young company. Campy and kitschy rules the day and really ends up hitting home with our employees and our contractors. So we purposely have governing principles that are big pictures with a few words on there. It's not an 80-page document. We don't have an 80-page governance document. We have these six guiding principles, and then we have policies that we're actually starting to write out underneath those that are very short, sweet, and to the point. Okay? There's nothing to sign, and we are very dedicated to maintaining our corporate culture being reflected in what we do from a SharePoint perspective. And then number six, we cannot succeed without community. We have a ton of community groups in our organization that are incredibly important to our success. We have a SharePoint user group. We have our site collection administrator community. We've got our SharePoint Ninja program, our executive steering committee, our center of excellence. We support all of them, and we recognize all of them as being key to what we do every day in order to succeed. So we got some of our ninjas together for a photo shoot in preparation for coming here this week. And they had an incredibly good time being able to come together and take these pictures. In the end, we truly believe that governance is all about people, and that people really make the difference in what we do every day. So as I said, our governance plan, we strive to be practical, adaptable, applicable, and realistic in everything that we do. So our success or failure with 2013 will really be measured on the strength of our user adoption and our internal community and our ninja network. And so far, we think that we're off to a fantastic start. At this point, Matt's going to come back up and talk to you a little bit more about SharePoint 2013.
Okay. So you've heard about the ninja program a little bit. You've heard about governance. We wanted to make sure you also had a little bit of an insight to what SharePoint 2013 actually looks like at Best Buy, what we're doing from a training perspective, and some of the other things we're actually doing. Who here in the room is actually in charge of infrastructure, servers, and things like that? Okay, so a couple people. I didn't go super in-depth with this because I didn't want to bore most of the audience. This is a very high-level idea of what our SharePoint 2013 implementation looks like. We wanted to make sure we learned from our mistakes with 2007 and actually had a farm that was capable of handling all of the need it was going to have. So we've got a couple web front ends and some app servers and a three node SQL cluster with like 10 terabytes of space on the back end, Office web app servers. We have two gigantic physical search servers, because one of the biggest problems we had with 2007 was search, and it didn't work so well all the time. So we made sure we accounted for that. So we have got a farm that will live and grow with us, and hopefully from that end, we won't have any problems. If that stays stable, all we have to focus on is our users and the engagement, and that's a lot of sweat off of our backs. Okay? So we have 2007, right? It's a wild, wild west. It's kind of a mess. We have this lovely, pristine 2013 environment. How do people get their stuff from point A to point B? We gave our users some options on how to get their content from 2007 into 2013. And because we're kind of kitschy and campy, we gave them value meals. So, value meal number one, create from scratch. You get a brand new, shiny 2013 site collection, and it's all yours. You're responsible for getting your data from 2007 into 2013 however you want to. Now, one of the big things we tell people that they can do with this option is get a chance to redesign from scratch, right? We all know 2007 and 2013 look pretty different. So this option is a great opportunity for people to start designing their site, redesign their information architecture, set up new lists and new libraries and new apps to actually handle the business maybe the way they're doing it now, which may not have been the case when that site collection was first started in 2007. There are obviously some cons from this perspective as well. You have to know enough about the system to be able to set up a new site collection, but you get this opportunity to really do a nice redesign of it. Option number two, create new and move select content. Okay? This one starts the same as value meal number one. You get a blank 2013 site collection for you to start designing however you see fit. But if you've got lists and libraries or other processes you've already have built in 2007 and you really want to keep those, we made an investment as part of our federal governance to purchase some tools to help get things that have already been created from 2007 into 2013. So with value meal number two, we are more than happy to move some of the pieces of your site collection for you. You just need to tell us what you want to move. We'll take a quick peek at it and make sure it's not too messy. And we will be happy to move those pieces for those users. Again, you need to know enough about the system to start redesigning. You have to do a little bit of cleanup because we want to make sure we're only moving relevant content into the new system. But it's still a pretty easy way to go. Value meal number three is the whole site migration. Okay? This is the one where we really sit down with you and we talk to you about what you're doing in SharePoint. We take a really in-depth look at your permissions, the documents you have, what you've got going on, to make sure that we're not going to move a messy site from 2007 into 2013. This last one takes a bit of time, because you actually get to sit with one of us, and we look at it, and we talk to you about what you're trying to do with SharePoint to make sure that you are really ready to move. This one takes some cleanup on the part of those owners to make sure that everything is nice and clean and pristine and really ready to go. Now, really quick, with a quick show of hands, how many people think most users vote for value meal number one? Couple, okay. What about value meal number two? And what about value meal number three? So most people think that most of our site owners are voting for value meal number three. I hate to tell you, you're wrong. Okay? We have found that many site owners within our organization are taking the opportunity to start fresh and are either going with value meal number one or value meal number two. They're really seeing the opportunity to get rid of the junk and only take the pieces that they actually need with them. Okay? Now, Sarah mentioned this a couple times, and I mentioned it previously. We have training, and one of our governance principles is all site collection administrators have to go through training to be able to get a site collection within 2013. When we were thinking about training, we obviously had a couple options, right? We could bring in an outside company to do training for us and try to customize a training approach and spend a lot of money on getting that done. We could get computer-based training for SharePoint 2013 and force everyone to sit in front of their computer for hours and hours and hours watching videos. Or we could do what we ended up doing, and that's design our own training program. This was a bit of a daunting task. So you kind of start with this idea of, well, I kind of know what I want to teach people, but I have absolutely no content. And between Sarah and myself, we spent hours and hours and hours, and I don't even remember how long it took us. It took us a couple months, 3.5 months, to design our internal training curriculum. And it evolved over time, because we originally had scoped out 2 classes, and we suddenly realized we really needed 3. But this internal training program has really allowed us to get all of our site collection administrators on an even playing field. So when they got into 2013, they had some knowledge to actually start doing something in the system. So I mentioned we have 3 classes. The first class is our end user training class. This class is available to anyone who works for or with Best Buy and wants to know about SharePoint 2013. It's a brand new system, right? People have been used to using SharePoint 2007. Some users had kind of seen SharePoint 2010. No one had seen SharePoint 2013, not only at Best Buy, but remember, we launched this in August of 2013. Throughout the industry, not a lot of people had really had any experience with SharePoint 2013. This is a 2-hour instructor-led training where we walk them through SharePoint 2013. We say, this is what a SharePoint 2013 site looks like. It looks different. Here's where things are, right? Here's how you get to all of the lists and libraries and these app thingies, right, within the site collection. Here's how you navigate through your site. Here's how you upload documents. Most users in our company had only ever had experience with 2007. They didn't really know what the ribbon was. They'd seen it in Word and Excel, but from a SharePoint perspective, they had no clue what this thing was used for. So we took the opportunity to walk them through. People can take this class even if they don't ever want to become a site collection administrator. We open this up, and we have departments who are sending the bulk of their users through this training class to, again, get them that experience with what does 2013 even look like. Okay? 2-hour instructor-led training. We do also offer users the chance to test out of this class. We realize that we do have users who have experience with web-based systems. Some people had experience, a lot of experience with 2007, and they didn't necessarily need to sit through a 2-hour training. So we give them an option to take a quick 10-question exam. This exam is a combination of multiple choice and essay questions. They fill it out. It's surprisingly built on SharePoint. They submit it. Sarah or myself reviews it and says, how many did you get right? If you got 8 or more correct, congratulations, you don't need to take the class. Let us know which next class you want to register for, and we'll register for you for the next level. Okay? If you don't pass, you still got to take the class. So the next level class is our site owner and power user training. Some of these people aspire to be site owners. They want to be in charge of their site, they want to have full control, and they want to do whatever they can. But some of these people are just people who are interested. They need a solution, they need a list or a library, and they want to learn how to do that. This is a 4-hour instructor-led training. We walk them through the basics of building a site within SharePoint 2013. How do you create a new subsite? Because the place where you go to create a new subsite in 2013, very different than it was in 2007. Okay? How do you add lists and libraries, and what is this app thing, and what does it mean to me? Because no one knows what an app is. Now everyone does. But previously, they had no clue what an app was. Okay? We walk them through how to properly manage permissions in the way that we would really like you to, using SharePoint groups, not giving all of your users individual access to all of the various pieces, and teach them that permission management is not hard if you do it right. Okay? We did decide to give users the option to test out of this class. We realized, again, we have a bunch of people who have a lot of technical aptitude, and if you want to go ahead and try to test out of this class, you're more than welcome to. It's another 10-question exam that's all essay questions, and we didn't make it easy. We purposely made it difficult and threw in a lot of SharePoint 2013 terminology to make sure that they were correct on their answers. We have actually had a few people pass the exam to test out of this class, but to be honest, we've only had like 3 people try, and I think only 2 people passed. It's hard. And we did that very much on purpose. Again, 4-hour instructor-led training. The last class. This is the big one. This is the site collection administrator class. There's no exam to get out of this one. Everyone who gets a site collection within SharePoint 2013 takes this class. We made our farm administrator go through the class. When we say everyone, we mean everyone, okay? Now, Sarah and I actually didn't have to go through it because we teach it, so we got ourselves a pass, but we know the material. We could easily pass the class. This class, we go over what does it mean to be a site collection administrator? How do you manage your space for your site collection? And how is space even broken up? Because people still think that space is broken up per site, which we all know it's broken up by site collection. We want to make sure they're educated on these topics. What does governance look like within Best Buy? And did you know that when you request your 2013 site collection, when you leave this class, that you are opting into this governance policy? Okay? What are the decisions that as a site collection administrator you could make that could potentially damage our farm? Right? Things like long and wide lists, crazy info path forms, and things like that. We want to make sure that our users and our site collection administrators are educated properly to the decisions that they could make that impact everyone. That way they can't really play stupid later. Right? If something breaks on their site collection, they know we are coming to talk to them, right? And we are going to have a conversation with them and partner with them to fix it, but they are in the end responsible for what goes on within their site collection. Again, no one gets out of going to this class if they want a 2013 site collection. This is the class you have to finish, okay? Yeah. This is a 4-hour instructor-led training as well. So in total, if you have to take all three classes, right, we have 10 hours worth of training that is absolutely free for people at Best Buy to take. We do not charge them to take this training class. The only investment that they have to make is their time to sit in the room and learn. Okay, we made an extremely conscious decision that if we were going to get people to buy into this governance, we had to make it easily accessible for them. Now, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. Marathon. Okay. Once our site collection administrators are done with their last 4-hour training class, we don't just leave them alone. Okay. Every month or every quarter, we have a site collection administrator ongoing training series class where we get every site collection administrator together and we teach them something new. Okay? We realize that if we don't share best practices and information with our site collection administrators, we're going to slowly devolve back to the wild, wild west, and we can't have that happen. We need to provide these site collection administrators ongoing information, ongoing best practices, new ways of doing things in SharePoint 2013, different ways of thinking. We need to make sure that they stay up to date on what their options are in the system and that they, in the end, know that they are not alone at Best Buy, that we have their backs and we are here to support them. So, again, we have the ongoing site collection administrator training series either every month. Currently, we're doing them every month. We just launched them in January at Best Buy. We've obviously had January and February. We've got our March meeting planned out. They're an hour long, once a month at this point. We're going to slowly dial them back to every quarter after a while, but we want to make sure right at the beginning we're giving our users a long influx. But it's not a big time commitment. So we do. The question was, how do we manage people who are not at our location? Obviously, we have a corporate office that's pretty decent size in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but we do have field employees, district and territory staff primarily that are using SharePoint. We do provide, for the training classes, we provide virtual training options via WebEx. And then for the site collection administrator meetings, we have a WebEx option for them as well. When you come into the site collection administrator meetings, you have to sign in that you were there. You have to have a representative from every site collection within the organization. Now, you could have more than one site collection, and that's perfectly fine. But when you sign in, there's a list of all of our 2013 site collections, and you check the box for the one you're representing. Every site collection needs to be represented during those meetings, or you need to let us know that you can't make it that month. And we do record them so people can watch them later if they did miss them, or if they were in them and they want to just review the content, we have them recorded for them to review later. So,
are the ongoing sessions mandatory?
Yes. So the question was, are the ongoing sessions mandatory? They are mandatory. Again, we require every site collection to be represented in those meetings. If you can't make it and you have another site collection administrator on that site collection, one person's got to show up. It doesn't have to be both of you, but we want to make sure that every site collection has this ongoing training. Okay? No, currently we don't share our training programs outside of Best Buy. So, you've heard, we're going to hold the rest of the questions till the end. We should have time for questions just to finish our content. We're going to keep going, but we should have time for questions. So, you've heard where we started. You've heard where we are, but where are we going from then? Okay, so Sarah's going to take you through our kind of future strategy, and then we should have time for questions.
Just stay up here. Sure. So, all right, we're going to go with where we are now. But first, Jason, where are you? Duck status. Holy cow, there are 8 ducks. So I will warn you, we're going to be at questions in about 7 minutes. So I would step it up. All right, so where are we now? And by the way, these ducks are hard to get because he's really spreading these things out. Okay, so I did want to mention as part of our training program, we launched the training program last September, right? That's the time when we opened up our 2013 farm. We have over 300 site collections on our 2013 farm currently, and I believe that we have over 70 certified, no, that's actually not right, I think we have over 80 certified site collection administrators, okay? If you look at, what was that?
84.
84 to be exact, all right? If you look at our training program, we really had goals of getting in the first 6 months, we were really hoping that we'd have about 250 people through our training program. In 6 months, we've actually had 400 people go through our 2013 training program. That is an amazing number when you consider our corporate campus is 4,500 people. We've had more than 10% of our corporate campus go through training. Keep in mind, our 2007 and 2010 SharePoint farms are still up and active. 2013 is entirely voluntary at this point. And the 6 month window for our training fell over holiday, which if you work for a retail company, holiday is when you need to be focused on other things. We had people attending training throughout the holiday season, which is absolutely amazing. And we could not be any happier with the liftoff that we've gotten on this training program. It's really been fantastic. So that training program has been going exceedingly well, but let's talk a little bit about where we're going in terms of next steps. I mentioned that our SharePoint Center of Excellence is fairly young, okay? We've been working on initiatives. We know that we have a lot of growth and a lot of maturity to go through. Some of the things that I mentioned before that are the most successful are our training program, our SharePoint Ninjas, and I don't think I failed to mention how many ninjas that we've actually had up until now. So we were actually hoping in year one that we'd get up to as many as 10 to 15 ninjas. We started the program in July of 2013. As of today, we have 22 ninjas, which exceeds by double what we thought that we were going to have. It's been absolutely amazing. So obviously, formalized 2013 governance, our training program, our ninja network are some of the key things that we've done, but we have a lot that we need to do as we move forward. Job number one, we need to further evolve our governance policies. We have quite a few different policies underneath those 6 tenets that we talked about. We need to really document those, have videos, have short articles that describe them. We know that we need to get more robust about that, so that's really an implementation area for us. We also know that we need to invest in our wiki knowledge base and building out our content. Community sites, we want to have a ninja community of site. We're rebranding our SharePoint user group site to launch it on 2013. Those are definitely focus areas for us. And then we know we need to think up the next big thing, right? We're going to keep on having our ninja program, but we need more great ideas like that, that are strategic and that are really going to help us from a user adoption perspective. So we're very dedicated to continuing to come up with those. The reality, though, is we have a team of 5 people. We kind of have a lot going on a regular basis, right? In all of these things that we do. And keep in mind, we're teaching these training courses on a regular basis. Our end user class is offered weekly. Our site owner class and our site collection admin classes, those are the 4-hour classes, are offered every other week on a staggered week. So every single week, we've got a 2-hour training and a 4-hour training to be delivered. One of the things that's been incredible about our Ninja program is that one of the community activation options is for them to come in and teach our two-hour end user class. That has been absolutely amazing. When we first rolled out the option for our SharePoint Ninjas to teach that class, we have a SharePoint calendar where we put all of the future class dates, and it's literally a sign-up sheet for them to sign up to be facilitators. The first time that I ever rolled this out to our ninjas to sign up to teach this class, I sent them an email on a Saturday morning. By Saturday early afternoon, they were fighting over it because all of them wanted to teach the class, and we ran out of available class slots for them to teach. That is amazing. And it is all volunteer time. It's time that we don't have to spend really teaching those classes. And these are people that are doing their day jobs at night to free up the time to do this during the day entirely volunteer. So that's been really amazing. In terms of where we go to next, we know that we need to grow. And in particular, our Ninja program needs to grow and evolve. As I said, year one has exceeded all possible expectations with having 22 ninjas. I believe that in year two or three, if we get up to the point of having 40 or 45 ninjas, that would be amazing. We do recognize that everyone's got a different path to what good looks like for them. We have people that are level one Sapphire ninjas who never will be more than that. They wanted to get recognized, and that's perfectly valid and perfectly okay. Other people are gonna wanna rise up through the ranks. We also know and understand that people will be ninjas this year, and maybe 6 months from now or 3 months from now, they're not going to be very involved in the program, and they might not continue with their community activity and engagement, and that's really okay. Our goal is to continue to have new blood coming in all the time in order to keep up that level of enthusiasm and integration within the program and within the team. So our goal, again, is to be able to build out more and more of these shadow eye ninjas so that we can continue to evolve. And our shadow eye ninjas, as Matt said, are we don't allow anyone to have a 2013 site collection unless they've been through training. The shadow eye ninja that I mentioned before that we have at our corporate office, he only went through training 3 weeks ago, and we wouldn't give him a site collection. You can be a shadow eye ninja. I don't care, because unless you're going to sit through my four-hour class, you're not getting a site collection. So we really do try and stick to that as much as we can. So in the end, our goal is to really help our ninjas succeed in any and every way possible. So at this point, we've got about 6 minutes for questions. We'll definitely open it up for questions. And Matt and I can definitely, I believe there's a half an hour break after this, so we'll stick around to answer questions. Yes. That's going to be a little bit tough. Frankly, one of the things that's made the biggest difference for us is the fact that we stood up 2013 separately from 2007. It's far easier to implement governance when you have a fresh, clean boat to start with. I would really work proactively with those people to try and offer them a multiplicity of ways to get trained, to grandfather them in, but I would also draw a line in the sand at some point for future growth when you have that training program ready and say, yep, you might have gotten a site collection previously, but from this point onwards, so maybe starting, you know, April 15th, you have to go through training in order to get a site collection, and then I would work on clearing through everyone else and be flexible about what that training program looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. We made a very conscious decision. There was no auto provisioning. You in front of the microphone.
Thanks. I was wondering if you have, for those folks who go with like the original value meal A, start fresh, and around your governance policies, do you have anything around best practices so when they start information architecture, like this is what we recommend for doing that, or do they kind of make it up on their own based on what they learn in training?
Do you know, that's really one of the places where we spend the most of our time. If someone's starting a brand new 2013 site collection, they're going for option number one. We really sit down with them and talk to them about how they want to use the system, or talk to them about the business processes that they have that they feel aren't working well for them, and figure out how to re-architect those processes into SharePoint 2013 and really what's going to work best for them. We take the time and we invest the time with them, so it's more of a partnership and less of a you need to do it this way or you're on your own to go figure it out. We really spend time with those individuals.
So like full-on consulting kind of?
We really act as internal consultants within Best Buy. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks.
Before we get to the next question, please fill out your surveys. for the session. We definitely want your feedback. Yes. The question is, do we have primary and secondary site collection administrators to ensure that we have some amount of redundancy from a good perspective? So here's the thing, in our site collection governance, site collection administrator training programs, we go through and talk about the importance of having a primary and at least one backup site collection administrator. And we talk about all of the reasons why that's good. And let's face it, one of the reasons why it's good is that if you're out on vacation and one of your users has a question and they come to me, I'm going to start digging around in your site collection, and that might not be comfortable for you when you come back, because I might have questions about what you're doing, and that might not be good for you. So, but in the end, we consider the question about the primary and the secondary. Honestly, that's a state's rights issue. That's a site collection governance issue. We give them our opinion that we strongly, strongly recommend it, but ultimately, that is their choice to make. But understand that if the site collection administrator leaves, then we will determine that when we run our weekly PowerShell scripting. We'll automatically work with the department to try and find another site collection administrator. And in the end, in the interim, we will foster that site collection, our team will, for a little while. But if it gets past about a 30-day span and they don't have someone identified who's going through the training, then that site collection will be turned to read-only. So ultimately, it's in their best interest to find and have a succession plan. Did that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, does our governance plan cover brand and key messages? Do you want to take that one, Matt?
Yeah, I can definitely take that one. Because of the way we've set up these site collections, right? If you want a site collection, you go through the training and you get the site collection. We don't control what you use it for. So we're not controlling brand or the key messages you have to share using the vehicle. It is really yours to use for whatever you need to use it for, as long as you're adhering to our enterprise governance policies. If you want to use it to, you know, automate a particular business process, that's fine. If you want to use it as a file repository, that's also fine. It's really up to the site collection administrator to determine how they're going to use SharePoint within Best Buy.
We have time for one more question at the microphone before we release you for time.
Thanks. It's somehow related about this question. Is the governance not applicable at all on the internal communication of the company? Our internet is split in two, the publishing part, where the official messages go on from different departments, from HR, finance, etc., and the collaboration part. So what we've seen is just collaboration.
Yes, what we've seen is collaboration. Our intranet is not built on SharePoint. So from a positioning perspective, our use of SharePoint at Best Buy is collaboration, team, project sites, and business process automation. So our governance is specifically reflective of that. So at this point, Matt and I will stay here until any and all questions are answered. We thank you so much for coming. We appreciate your feedback.
Thank you all.